Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're exploring Pastor Tim Travis's sermon, The Journey of Redemption, Part 3, focusing on Mark chapter 16.
That's right. It's from Faithway FBC, and you can find the full sermon on faithwayfbc.com, Facebook, Spotify, and YouTube.
And before we jump in, a very happy birthday to Tina Travis.
Happy birthday, Tina. So Pastor Travis, he really sets the scene, doesn't he? Easter morning, 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, and he uses those little stories right at the start, the boy who missed Jesus showing up again, and the girl thinking about, what was it, turkey sandwiches?
Mm-hmm, turkey sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's a way to sort of ease us in, I think, make it relatable before hitting the main point.
Which he does pretty quickly. He basically says, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the absolute core. Without it, and well, their gatherings are meaningless.
Exactly. It's the foundation. He really anchors everything to that single event. It's like, if that didn't happen, then what's the point? Paul says something similar in 1 Corinthians, right? If Christ be not risen, your faith is also vain.
Right, from the King James Version. And building on that, he introduces this idea, the great trilemma.
Yeah, the liar, lunatic, or Lord thing.
He lays it out. Was Jesus deceiving people? Was he, you know, mentally unstable? He mentions things like the swoon theory, other people claiming to be messiahs.
But he lands firmly on the resurrection as the proof. The proof that Jesus is, in fact, Lord, it forces you to really grapple with it, doesn't it? You can't just sit on the fence.
No, you really can't. So, okay, let's move into the text itself. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, KJV, the women going to the tomb.
Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome with spices to anoint the body.
And Pastor Travis highlights the timing, really specific. After the Sabbath, very early, first day of the week, sun just coming up, he points out that people sometimes get confused about the sequence.
Mm-hmm. And that clarification about the Sabbath is helpful. He brings in John 19 talking about that high day Sabbath during Passover week, which was likely the Thursday.
Ah, okay. So that explains why they waited until Sunday morning. It wasn't the regular Saturday Sabbath they had just observed.
Exactly. It adds this layer of historical detail. It wasn't just a vague story.
And then there's their very practical worry. Who shall roll us away the stone?
Right. It's such a human moment. They're going out of devotion, but they hit this very real, seemingly impossible obstacle.
Pastor Travis uses that, doesn't he? He calls it a sincere approach, even when things look impossible. And he connects that stone to things that might block us from Jesus.
Yeah. What are those stones in our lives? Could be anything, really. Doubt, sin, past experiences, maybe just being too busy.
He also touches on death, how Christianity, unlike maybe some other views, encourages you to actually prepare for it. Which, let's be honest, most people don't like talking about.
No, they don't. But he frames it not as something morbid, but as like a hopeful preparation because of the resurrection. It changes how you view mortality.
And the women's actions going despite the potential danger. The guards, maybe, he calls that an effort of faith.
Mm-hmm. Contrasting it with just going through the motions.
Yeah.
You know, doing religious things out of obligation versus genuine belief and love. It makes you think about your own motivations.
Absolutely. Is it duty? Or is it devotion? And their question about the stone, the inquiry of concern, he says that stone represents sin.
Yes, the barrier between us and God. But the point is, when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. Jesus had already dealt with that barrier.
But the disciples didn't quite get it yet, did they? He mentions Luke 24.4 and John 20.9, how they were perplexed because they hadn't understood the scriptures about the resurrection.
Right. And Pastor Travis really emphasizes that point, the difference between knowing about Jesus, like having the facts, and actually knowing him, having that personal experiential relationship. The disciples knew him, but they still didn't fully grasp this.
Which is still relevant today, he suggests. Head knowledge versus heart knowledge.
Definitely. So then the women actually look inside the tomb, Mark 16, verses 4 to 7.
And the stone is rolled away, and they see not Jesus, but a young man in a long white garment, an angel, presumably.
And the angel has this incredible message. First, reassurance, be not affrighted. Then the core news.
Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Pastor Travis breaks this down, the declaration.
Yeah, first part, identifying him correctly. Jesus of Nazareth. Important, Pastor Travis knows, because Jesus was a common name. It specifies this Jesus, the one John the Baptist called the Lamb of God.
Grounds it historically again. Then the angel mentions he was crucified. Pastor Travis calls this the sufficient payment.
Right. He addresses any lingering doubts about whether Jesus actually died. He mentions the legs of the thieves being broken, but not Jesus's, because he was already dead. And the spear in the side.
The blood and water. fulfilling prophecy and confirming death.
Exactly. Historical details, theological significance, shows the sacrifice was real and complete.
And the third part of the declaration, he is risen, he is not here, the ultimate validation.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Travis brings in that detail from John's gospel, the linen grave clothes left behind, neatly folded.
Yeah, that's compelling. Not what you'd expect if someone just stole the body in a hurry.
No, it suggests something orderly, intentional. Pastor Travis emphasizes how this fulfilled everything Jesus himself had predicted. He told them he would rise again.
He even shares that modern story about the guy using his grandmother's death as an excuse, highlighting the difference between real belief and just using religion.
It drives home the point that this isn't just a story, it demands a real response, which leads to his point about no neutrality.
Right. You're either with Jesus or against him. He quotes Paul again from 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. It's stark.
It really is. The resurrection isn't just an interesting idea. It changes everything. If it's true, it demands your allegiance. If it's not, well, Christianity collapses.
So that's the declaration. What about the direction?
Simple and direct. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter.
He points out that Jesus never told people to keep his miracles quiet after this. This news was meant to be spread.
Absolutely. It's the start of the Great Commission, really. Go and tell. Patrick Travis links this to the ongoing spiritual battle, the exclusivity of Christ. He's the only way because he's the only one who conquered death.
He contrasts Jesus with other figures like Buddha, whose remains are still here, using that example of the alleged finger bone relic.
Right. The point being, other founders died and stayed dead. Jesus' tomb is empty. That's the unique claim. And Pastor Travis makes an urgent plea here for listeners to decide.
Yes, a call to action. Don't just hear this, respond to it.
But then Pastor Travis shifts to talk about, well, disappointment.
Yeah, the disappointment Jesus faced even after the resurrection, Mark 16, verses 9 to 14. Mary Magdalene sees him, tells the disciples.
Yeah, they didn't believe her. Believe not, the KJV says.
Even after the two on the road to Emmaus saw him, the others still didn't believe.
It's incredible, isn't it? Their unbelief, their hardness of heart, as Pastor Travis puts it, quoting the scripture where Jesus himself upbraided them for it.
It shows how deep-seated doubt can be, even for those who walked with him.
And Pastor Travis connects this to us today. He asks if we live with a disappointed of expectation of nothing.
Oof, that's a challenging thought. Do we pray, go to church, do all the things, but without any real expectation that God will actually do anything, just going through the motions?
It's a call for serious self-examination. Is our faith just a routine, or is there a genuine anticipation, a real belief in a living, active God?
Because he brings up that sobering warning from Matthew 7, essentially. Jesus might say, depart from me, I never knew you, to those who just had superficial knowledge, not a real relationship.
It underlines that difference again. Knowing about him versus truly knowing him. It's about the heart, the relationship, not just ticking boxes.
He finishes with that incredibly powerful story from Uganda, 1973, Idi Amin's regime.
Yes, the pastor facing execution for preaching Christ. His declaration that his life was hidden in Christ, that his captors were actually in more danger because of their sin.
And the soldiers, instead of killing him, become his protectors.
Wow.
It's an amazing testament to the power of faith in the risen Christ, even in the darkest circumstances. Pastor Travis uses it to encourage listeners. Live boldly, trust God, even when things are tough, because Jesus is risen, he is on the throne.
So that really wraps up the core of the sermon, a deep dive indeed.
It really covered a lot, from the historical details to the personal implications, didn't it?
Definitely. We hope exploring the sermon with us has maybe sparked some new thoughts or deepened your understanding of the resurrection.
Pastor Travis really pushes us beyond just accepting the resurrection as a fact, towards letting it shape how we live and who we are. Those questions he asks really linger.
Yeah, like, what's your stone? What's hindering your relationship with Jesus? Is your faith genuine, an effort of faith, or just habit?
And do you know him experientially? It's quite a challenge.
And seeing the disciples' own initial disbelief is, well, kind of comforting in a way. It shows that struggling with faith isn't unusual, even for those closest to the events. But the evidence, the power of the resurrection, won out.
Mm-hmm. And that final story from Uganda just highlights the kind of courage and conviction that comes from truly believing in the risen Savior.
Hmm.
Makes you think about your own boldness or lack thereof.
So we definitely encourage you to listen to the full sermon. Again, it's on faithwayfbc.com, Facebook, Spotify, YouTube. Really wrestle with Pastor Travis's challenge to seek understanding and live out that faith.
And maybe leave you with this final thought to chew on. If the resurrection really is the absolute cornerstone, the crowning event of Christianity, what does that practically mean for your life today?
Right. What's one step of faith, maybe even a small one, you could take this week because of that truth? Something to keep pondering.